Welcome to Pyconomy. Here we cover everything from finance, economy, and how it affects you. Please welcome your host, Kyle Talks.
Thank you. So good to be back. Thank you for choosing Pyconomy today. Whether you know it or not, by you downloading this episode, putting it in your ear holes, consuming the information, and walking out a different person, you have decided to care about your education, your finances, which is important. I always say this. If this is your first time hearing it, this is going to hit you hard. If this is your 66th time hearing it, because you've heard me say every time, then it's going to ring true once again. It is a privilege to be ignorant about your finances in America. That's crazy, huh? Y'all don't think I was going to say that? And then I said that. And now you're like, no, but now that you're thinking about it, you're like, he's right. And we'll talk more about why that is true later, but thank you guys so much for choosing today. I have missed you guys. I will do some explaining on Kyle Talks. A lot of stuff going on in my life, so a lot of episodes have been pushed back, but I have a fantastic guest coming on the show for Kyle Talks. I'm really excited for you guys to meet him and learn about what he's doing. It's going to be really cool. On to today, if this is your first time choosing into Pyconomy and you've chosen to care about your education, your finances, this is the show where we focus on finances, the economy, and how it all affects you. The reason why I start this show, I am the first person in my family to graduate with a degree, college degree, in business administration and finance. And like most people, this is not a knock on my family because they raised me. I'm doing well for myself now. But in most houses, money is a no-no. You don't talk about money. It's seen as a bad thing. And a lot of you guys have agreed with me. I've had a lot of people who said, yo, dude, like, did we live the same life? Probably, because we've all had that. And the people who raised us, they try their best. And the people that we will raise eventually, we will try our best, but we'll always fail. So the point of this is just to make sure we are educating ourselves. And then when we go in the world and you do your thing at work with your family, with your boys, with your girls, with the homies, we talk about money. It's not weird. It's an important thing to talk about. So that's why I started this show, because I'm passionate about that. And I really want to talk to you guys about it. That's about it. Yeah, this is my sideshow. If you're interested in the main show, the bread and butter of Kyle Talks, my main series, which is called, wait for it, Kyle Talks. I talk to people about society, business, and culture, and it's just a good conversation because I think that's what we're missing. So if you're interested in conversations with Disney voice actors who I've had on the podcast, someone who owns their own business who I had on the podcast, someone who lost 300 plus pounds is now a fitness trainer who I have also had on the podcast, great marriage advice from my wife, which is on the podcast, and spoiler, a published author who will be on the podcast. If you're interested in conversations like that, two different people from different places, different backgrounds, just becoming friends, being a community, go ahead and join my main show, Kyle Talks, every Wednesday. We're sticking to that. It's usually Wednesday or Thursday. We're sticking to Wednesdays. And it's a great conversation. If that's something you enjoy, please go ahead and check some out my backlog. Definitely check out the voice actor episode. Definitely check out the weight loss episode. You will be inspired for sure. And those are just some great things that are going on. Now, today's episode, usually how Pyconomy works is I break it down into three news articles, the biggest ones that affect you, not crazy news articles that are very like poignant. Is that the adjective I'm looking for here? That are filled with random words that I don't understand and I went to school for it and you don't understand. That means nothing to us. Rather, I break down three articles that are some importance to you and kind of give us some guidelines or awareness of what's going on with our money or in the economy and how we can best navigate that. Usually there's some news that comes along that is so big it only needs one episode, and that's what solely I'm focusing on today. So if you remember it is a long time ago now, 6 months, that's not long, but you know what I mean, we did the Inflation Reduction Act. I did a whole news piece about that, and we got our hands dirty and we really got into what that meant. We're doing the same thing today with the debt crisis. So Before we get started, all my articles that I use to give you this information and that I guess I react or I give you deeper understanding of, they will be in the show notes. Please don't take my word for it. Please don't blindly listen to me. Use it as some kind of base, but a loose base, and then read them for yourself, because I can't cover everything. If I did, these episodes would be longer than you and I would want to listen to or create, to be honest. So please make sure you read these articles for yourself. Jump into them yourself. Understand them yourself. Let's jump into it. The debt crisis. Let's talk about it. The debt crisis. What is this? What does it mean? What is going on? And why is this a big deal? So, like I said, if this is your first time listening, this is something I talked about in a couple of weeks ago's Fikonomy when it first happened. It's called the debt ceiling crisis. So if you have an understanding there, you know what's going on. For those who may be new, or this is their first time, or they missed the episode, I'm going to break it down for you very quickly. But if you want a fuller understanding, go ahead and check that episode out. I think it's called Fikonomy, like debt ceiling crisis. America doesn't know how to spend our money. Definitely look into that. I think it's a good resource for you to listen to. But hey, here's the long short of it. So America every year sets a budget for how much money they can spend, right? They say, hey, this year, let's spend $20 trillion instead of $15. The next year, they go, you know what? We could have spent an extra $5 trillion. So let's do that. Let's increase the budget. And they do that every year in whatever capacity they choose to increase it based on previous year spending. That's how it works. Essentially, they say, hey, we might need to spend this much money. So get ready for this. In 2023, can you guess what the spending cap was? If you already know, you can't cheat. That's cheating. You just said that answer and you, because you listened to the last episode. That's cheating. Yeah, so you're probably really off. They decided to set the spending cap to $31.46 trillion for the year of 2023. And the government spent that by mid-January of 2023. I'm just giving you some time to digest that. The U.S., the United States of America, Papa Biden, Sleepy Joe, whatever you want to call him, that man has spent 31.46 T's. Not M's, not B's, but T's. Of course, it's all of the United States government, not just Papa Joe, but you get the point. So we've spent a lot of money, and that causes America to stop spending. We also have loans to other countries. Currency, it's like currency depositions. It's a word that starts with D. I'm failing myself because I learned this in school, but I forgot what exactly it's called at this moment, and I didn't write it down, of course. But yes, they have other things they need to take care of outside of the U.S. as far as making money back on loans, payments, stocks, bonds, stuff like that. Money they just owe and have to pay to the American people and to foreign entities. So spending has stopped. The reason, and that's where it comes in, the debt crisis. So they need to raise the amount of debt they can spend. Now, you might say, Kyle, what do you mean they have to raise debt to spend? Shouldn't they raise money? Like, shouldn't they just print more money? And you are a thinker. You're noticing very clearly I'm using the word debt ceiling. In a lot of these articles, they use the word debt ceiling too. Because, again, if you've been here for any amount of time, you've heard this 1,000 times, and this will just reaffirm what you already know. If this is your first time hearing this, sit down, because this may or may not surprise you. But money in America is not created when they print. It's created when you take out debt. I know, we'll jump into it a little later, but for now, all you need to know is that when you spend money, you're not creating money. When you go get a car, when you go get a degree, when you go get a home, a house, and let's say house. You go get a house for $500K, but you don't got $500K in the bank. The bank says, no problem. We'll pay for it for you. You pay us back slowly. Boom. You just created $500K out of nothing. You are contributing to American society and the economy of the United States of America. And we should thank you because you, who just took out that loan for $500K for a house, did not have $500K, but somehow you made it appear out of nothing. You, my friend, are a modern day finance magician. Did you know that about yourself? I know. Hey, now, same thing with the credit card. So that's how money works, correct? And that, no surprise, since that works for the people of the United States of America, that is also how the government of the United States of America also conducts itself. So when you talk about debt ceiling, they're talking about the United States government taking out more debt to pay its obligations, that's the word I was looking for, to other countries and to its own American people. So there's the debt crisis. There's the long short of it. Very simplified, but it gives you enough to understand what's really going on here. So we don't know what the cap is at the moment because this is new news. At least I couldn't find it. But it has to go from the House to the Senate, and then the president eventually signs it in. They had a whole bill. They passed it through. It was went back and forth, but President Biden just signed a day ago the debt ceiling bill to increase the debt for so that Americans can spend money again and not default on its payments. Also, take note, America has never missed a payment. How impressive. I love that for us, I guess. They have never missed a payment. So we're going to jump into what this bill is, the debt ceiling bill. It's a whole bill. And if you remember our conversation about the Inflation Reduction Act, there's a whole lot of things in here that have nothing to do with the debt ceiling. So let's talk about it. The first article of the day, we're going to talk about the signing of the bill and some of our president's thoughts behind it and the finances that go with it. So let's jump in. Mr. President signs debt ceiling bill and successfully raises debt ceiling until 2025. The article continues to say President Joe Biden on Friday discussed a bipartisan, which means Democrats and Republicans agreed, a bipartisan agreement to lift the debt ceiling just days before we were to default on our loans. So literally at the last minute, President Biden signed this bill saying, hey, we can borrow more money so we can pay our obligations. That's what that means. He signed the compromise debt bill into law on Saturday, averting a catastrophic default, which has never happened in the history of the United States yet. President Joe Biden on Friday evening gave his first address to the Oval Office to discuss a bill to lift the debt ceiling while capping federal spending, calling it a critical agreement. He signed the law into Saturday. Quote, Biden said, no one got everything they wanted, but the American people got what they needed. We averted an economic crisis and an economic collapse, end quote. That is true, President Biden. That is very true. If we were to default on something, that I would have to like make a 6-hour episode on what that would mean for all of us. That would actually, that would be bad. Like, regardless of who you like, who you don't like, what you don't like, that would have been bad. That would have meant a lot of jobs, but hey, we averted that. So happy Ficonomy episode. Yay. The compromise debt ceiling bill passed the Senate by a 63-36 margin. That 63 senators voted for it, 36 voted against Thursday evening, winning enough support for both parties to overcome the chamber's 60-vote threshold and avoid a tiebreaker. The bill comes after weeks of intense negotiations between Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and the White House. A final deal. There it is. So that's kind of some basics. Now, we passed it. What does it mean? You don't really hear about what these things means, or honestly, until I start going to school or doing this podcast even, you don't really understand what these things have. So if you remember the Inflation Reduction Act, it had things like climate control, gas, random business laws, like weird things everywhere that maybe had nothing to do. So let's jump into what the ceiling bill is and get ready for this. We're going to go through a lot in this. Once again, the article for this is in the show notes. please take time to read this. There's a lot to it. If you're just doing nothing or homework, like listen to it audibly. It'll be good. So what's inside of this bill? So like I said, just this past Saturday, President Biden signed this into a law. So the debt ceiling is raised. But what was all in this 300-page bill? 300 pages. Someone had to write this. Let's talk about the first and foremost thing. It temporarily suspends the debt limit. What does that mean? The deal, the ceiling debt crisis deal that was signed into a law, suspends the nation's $31.46 trillion borrowing limit until January 2025. So there's going to be no spending limit for the U.S. government until 2025. You know, when you get a little extra money in your paycheck and you start wiling out like you ain't got bills to pay next month? That's the U.S. government right now. They got a little bonus and now they're not even thinking about. They're going out to party with the girls right now. That's what they're doing, right? So that's what's going on contextually. Suspending the debt limit for a period of time is different than setting it at a new fixed level. Which is like we just said, they spend money like they don't even care because they ain't got no budget right now. You see how that can be bad? It essentially gives the Treasury Department the latitude. What a weird word to use. These people trying to sound fancy with words. Gives them the ability to borrow as much money as it needs to pay the nation's bills during that time period. So they can pull out any kind of money they ever need until 2025. Now, what's important about that date? That's 2 years away. What's happening between now and January 1, 2025? The election. Interesting. That's going to be a bit of a dilemma for President Biden or potentially any other candidate who is president at that time, right? Yeah, so continuing gives the Treasury Department the ability to borrow as much money as it needs to pay bills, plus a few months after the limit is reached, as the department employs accounting maneuvers to keep up payments. Nothing much there. That's what we talked about. Let's get into this stuff. Caps and cuts spending. The bill cuts so-called non-defense discretionary. What the heck does that mean? Let's talk about it. So, this bill cuts non-defense discretionary, which includes domestic law enforcement, forest management, scientific research, and more for the 2024 fiscal year. It would limit all discretionary spending to 1% growth in 2025, which is effectively a budget cut because that is projected to be slower than the rate of inflation. That was a whole lot of words that I just said to you. I just want to get that out of the way. What does this mean? They are not defunding public services, but they are limiting their budget and bringing down their budget. So the budgets for, I'll say them again, these are just the big ones. The budgets for law enforcement, the budgets for forest management, which includes parks and national parks, scientific research, which includes like the people who do vaccines. Whoa, that's a scary word. Vaccines, like cancer studies, just developing health systems. All of their budgets are being cut to only allow them to grow 1% from now to 2025. I'll say that again so it's a little easier to understand. So a company based on revenue, people showing up, they can grow like, oh, their revenue increased a certain amount of percent because they're allowed to spend more money in the business and allowed to pour more resources in the business so the business can grow. With this law, they're only allowed to pour resources into the police department, into forest management, into national parks, into scientific research, only enough so that they can grow 1%. On average, these things grow 5 to 10% a year. It varies, of course, every year, but that's about the average. So that's, no one's talking about that. Whether you think that's a good or bad idea, this is something that flew under the radar into this bill, and no news source that I have seen has talked about this. What do you think about that? Does that scare you? Is that not a big deal for you on any one of those aspects? Or what's going on there? Also, note the keyword non-defense, which means the military is going to be all right. We're still spending trillions in the military. Don't you worry, brother. We are good in that aspect. It's just everywhere else we have to worry about. So there's that. Let's continue. It claws back IRS funding. Interesting. What does that mean? Let's jump into it. The legislation takes aim at one of the president's biggest priorities, bolstering the IRS. Thank you, Papa Biden, for making sure we pay our taxes. Bolstering the IRS to go after tax cheats and ensure companies and rich individuals are paying what they owe. Democrats, the article continues, Democrats included $80 billion big ones, dollars, bands, Benjamins, to help the IRS hire thousands more employees and update its antiquated technology in last year's Inflation Reduction Act. Oh, wow, we talked about that. The debt limit agreement would immediately rescind $1.38 billion from the IRS and ultimately repurpose another $20 billion from the $80 billion it received through the Inflation Reduction Act. What does this mean? Kyle, you said a lot of words to me. Can you please break it down in a way I can understand? Dude, of course. Thank you for asking. That's why I do this. President Biden said, yo, y'all remember like when the Inflation Reduction Act and people were going crazy on Twitter and TikTok? They're hiring IRS agents to send us to jail. Papa Biden wants his taxes. First of all, that should not surprise you. We're talking about Uncle Sam here. Uncle Sam always gets paid. Always. So that's really, I'm surprised that you're making a big deal out of that. But also, the pushback was so great from that. You're seeing the Oval Office step back from that. They're taking money away from the IRS. This is what that means. So immediately, they're pulling back $1.38 billion and taking another $20 billion and repackaging that to go elsewhere. Where does that go? Couldn't tell you. There's not enough information, at least that I could find. If you could find something, please tell me, because I would love to know. But yeah, so they're reining in the IRS because it's been a problem. And Joe Biden is running again for office in the upcoming election. And he knows that half of Americans that didn't like this will see this and be like, huh, maybe Biden is for me, even though he's only doing it for votes, as would any other political candidate would. Not as a gag to him, but any political candidate would do that, right? So it's interesting. What do you think about that? Is this a W? Do you not care? Me personally, I don't make enough yet for this to be a big deal for me, but good to know that political candidates can get bullied by the public, question mark. Maybe that is a good thing. I don't know. Continuing. New work requirements for government benefits. This legislation would impose, which has now become a law, would impose new work requirements to an older Americans who receive food stamps through the Nutrition Assistance Program and who receive aid from Needy Families Program. This bill imposes new work requirements for food stamps on adults from 50 to 54 who don't have children living in their home. Under current law, those work requirements only apply to people 18 to 14. The age limit will be phased. He'll come. That's nothing much there. Just new rules for the people in those age brackets from 50 to 54 on governmental assistance, on what they can or can't do, provide extending those benefits to people from ages 50 to 54 who don't have children in their home. So for those people in that age group, this is actually a W. Moving on, permitting reform. The next one gets crazy. Permitting reform. The agreement includes new measures to get energy projects approved more quickly by creating a lead agency to oversee reviews and require that they are completed in 2 years. So remember when we were talking about the Inflation Reduction Act, they were hard pressing like climate control. They're giving you taxes for getting EVs, electric vehicles. They're giving you refunds. Like, they're really pushing this. Here's this even more fourfold. So the legislation will also include a win for Senator Joe Manchin III of West Virginia. That is such a long title for no reason. A Democrat centrist by approving permitting the request for Mountain Valley Pipeline, a natural gas project in West Virginia. Okay. The $6.6 billion project is intended to carry gas from about 300 miles from the Marcellus shale fields in West Virginia across nearly 1,000 streams and wetlands before ending in Virginia. This is just trying to get more natural gas. That's the big one. I wasn't aware of this issue, actually, before this was talked about. So there's like gas that they're trying to get over naturally to different parts of the state, one being to Virginia right now, and they're building a pipeline that will go straight to it. They're also talking about energy reforms. So now, for whoever's job this is, they have to sit there 8 hours a day looking at requests to the government to help them do energy forward projects. So someone has to sit there now and look at all of these and be like, yeah, this is a good thing for the government to be part of, or this is not a good thing for the government to be a part of. That's essentially what's going on here. Moving on. This is the one I care the most about. I assume most of my people will care the most about this because we're all students, and you know how our loan payments kept on getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back? No longer. Let's talk about it. Student loans and unspent COVID money. This one hurts. This one hurts, folks. The bill officially puts an end to Mr. Biden's freeze on student loan payments by the end of August and restricts Mr. Biden's ability to reinstate this practice. So there it is. You know how we kept on getting our loans payments pushed back and pushed back and pushed back? That's stopping. So by the end of August, we're making payments again. I feel ya. I get it. Trust me, I do. The article continues. It does not move forward with the measure that House Republicans wanted to include that would halt Mr. Biden's policy to forgive between $10,000 and $20,000 in student loan debt for most borrowers. That initiative, which the Biden administration rolled out last year, is currently under review by the Supreme Court and could ultimately be blocked. Let's talk about it. By the end of August, we're making loan payments again. It is what it is. We can't fight it. What did I say 5 minutes ago? Uncle Sam gets paid. So Uncle Sam's gonna get paid. Now, here's the silver lining. We can still get between $10,000 and $20,000 forgiven. That is still on the table. We'll see how that goes. That is currently at the Supreme Court and it's under review. Who knows how long that will take. I can't give you any date specifically, but that could take another Biden, maybe not even office by the time they figure this out, right? That's the big one. This one hurt me the most. I shed a little tear, as I'm sure you are shedding a little tear right now. And that's a hurt one. Moving on to the final thing, not the biggest, preventing a government shutdown, and this one's rather obvious. The agreement only sets parameters for the next 2 years of spending, which avoided a government shutdown. Congress must fill them in the passing a raft of spending later this year. Large fight loom in the details of these bills. So all these bills and these different things that are in this 300-page document we've talked about, politicians had to fight, potentially bribe to get these things passed with this, right? So really unfortunate, but that's just how it is. Raising the possibility that lawmakers will not agree to spending plans in time and the government will shut down sometimes in 2025 when this issue comes up again. So I just gave you 30 minutes of what's in this thing. Can you believe it? So what did we talk about? We talked about this bill crisis. It got passed. The government has unlimited spending until 2025, which will be good or bad. We talked about what's in the bill. They can spend it limitedly. Law enforcement, theme parks, or not theme park, national parks, forest management, rangers, park rangers, and scientific research scientists are all getting budget cuts, reducing how much they're paid and how much they grow. President Biden said, my bad, and cut back IRS spending and took some money back and fired some IRS workers. There's new government benefits for people in the age 50 plus bracket who don't have children. There's reform for energy projects, and someone has to go through them and approve them now. And unfortunately, student loans are going to be start paying back at the end of August. But forgiving 10 to 20K still might be on the table. And ultimately, all of this was put together to prevent a government shutdown. There it is. What surprises you most? What's in this? What doesn't surprise you that's in this? And what makes you mad that's in this? I'll start. I'm sad I have to make student loan payments. That really sucks. That's the big one for me. Everything else is whatever. I think cutting budgets for public entities in the states is unfortunate, because I did an episode about the business of the government, and these public places are already pretty trashy and not good overall in general. That's not of everything. So reducing their spending even more is kind of trippy for me. We'll see how that goes. Probably I won't notice any difference probably, but that probably stands out me the most. And yeah, I'm just sad we have to, us and my fellow Zoomers and millennials, we're gonna have to start spending money on loans again. Feels bad, man. But that is it. What surprised you? What did you like? What did you not like? Did this educate you at all? If this educated you at all, or was entertaining to you, or you cracked a smile, or you were vehemently depressed, hey, same brother, please share the episode. Share it with your friends, share it and tag me on Instagram and Twitter at Kyle the Horton. I will repost it, have a conversation with you, and I will love you forever. If you would like to continue this conversation with me, please reach out to me in my socials at Kyle the Horton on both Instagram and Twitter. I will be there to have a conversation with you. Share the episode and review and share and review. With all that stuff out the way, I just want to remind you, you are extremely loved and extremely valued. And honestly, you don't even know how much you are loved and valued. Thank you for listening. And I can't wait for you guys to listen to the conversation I have with a published author. Go out, be blessed, be loved, and I'll talk to you guys next time.